You ever say to yourself, if I only knew then what I know now? Well, that's the idea behind this show. 20 lessons for the next generation. Hey, everybody, I'm Paul Boyer here with the Mad Money Machine Show 163 for end of July 2009. And not all of the lessons are about investing, but some of them are. And I hope that I can pass on what I've learned to the next generation so that they have a leg up. Maybe they don't have to make all the mistakes. Maybe they have a quicker road to lasting happiness for the rest of their lives. Other tidbits of information that I want to pass along to you. First of all, golf. Did you watch the British Open? How sweet would it have been? Oh, it would have been so good to see Tom Watson win that thing at 59 years and 10 months old. One putt made the difference. I guess Stuart Sink birdieing the 18th hole, Tom Watson bogeying the 18th hole. That was the difference. And that's what golf's all about, is missing the shot and losing to your opponent. Tiger Woods also missed a shot. One shot off the cut line. Did not make the cut. That's his second major golf tournament that he has missed the cut in. How frustrating must that be for him? If you're a golfer and you've competed before in a league or something and you lose to your competition by a stroke, it just feels so horrible. It feels so awful. It feels like taking the clubs and selling them all on eBay. I don't know what's going on with Tiger, though. I did notice in some of the video that I was watching, he had white tape on a couple of his fingers, it looked to me like. I don't remember which hand. If I had to guess, I would say it was somewhere on his left hand. It's the kind of tape I've seen soccer players wear to cover rings and things. But why would he have two? I don't think he'd have two rings. I just wonder if he has a cut on his hands or a burn or something. I remember David Duvall years ago burnt his fingers. Was it? Or he either burnt it or cut his fingers after he was cutting a bagel or something like that. Maybe Tiger injured his hands, just didn't tell anybody about it. Maybe that's what caused the waywardness on his drives. I know if my hands hurt, it sure would be difficult swinging that club and getting the ball in the right place. I found my golf books, looking all around for them. Years ago when I gave up the game, I put all my books, golf books, in a box, hid them away in the basement, and I couldn't find them for a while. I was looking for them a few weeks ago. I thought, well, did I sell them on eBay? Did I throw them in the trash? I mean, was I that frustrated that I threw everything in the trash? Well, I finally found them at the bottom of the bookcase in a box, labeled appropriately enough, golf books. Pulled him out today, and Dave Pelz, I've got his two books on the putting Bible and the short game Bible or whatever it is. He's got a story in there about two pigeons, two sets of pigeons. In one pigeon cage, the experimenters made it so that when a pigeon pushed on a lever, a little pellet of food would come out. And after a while, the pigeon would learn that pushing the lever made the pellet of food come out. And when they were hungry, they'd push the lever, the pellet of food would come out. Well, in the other cage, though, the experimenters set it up so that pellets came out at random. Just random, some sort of random time interval. Pigeons in that cage, they might press a lever. Maybe a pellet would come out, maybe it wouldn't. But over time, those pigeons, they didn't learn to press the lever to get a pellet. Some pigeon might learn to raise his right wing and a pellet would come out. Another pigeon might learn to turn a full circle and a pellet might come out. And the point he was making is, on the putting green, he sees people out there practicing various things, and they might do a long putter or something, and the ball goes in the hole, and they think, hey, I got my pellet, you know? Maybe they'll practice a pendulum stroke versus a screen door stroke, or they'll practice a heavy putter versus a lightweight putter, or they'll try this ball, or they'll try this alignment technique and all this other stuff, when in the end, it's all just pigeons getting random pellets. He says, don't be a pigeon. Well, you know, the same is true, I think, in the investing world. Some people strike it big on certain stocks that they might pick. And over time, they think that they're doing something on purpose to get their pellet. Don't be a pigeon in the investing world either. Another subject, I listened to DH podcast, Dvorak Horowitz podcast, where they get on the phone and talk with each other for about an hour. And they were mystified as to why gold would be something that someone would put value in. Why not water or oak leaves, they were saying, you know, something that's that you more abundant or trading. Well, that's the whole point, is gold is not abundant. It's scarce. The whole point behind having something that you can trade of value is that it has scarcity. Scarcity brings value, the law of supply and demand. Furthermore, gold makes a good thing to trade in this regard because it can be sliced up easily. It can be put back together easily. It's not too big to have to lug around. It is kind of heavy, but a little bit of it goes a long way. And there are many more reasons why gold has evolved over time to be something that's worth trading. It is not just the jewelry factor. Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. We did get two cats. We did get two kittens. We've been looking around. We looked on Craigslist. We look on petfinder.com. We looked at other places. We finally found a picture of one. We wanted two. Last time we had a cat, we had one, Buddy. In fact, we had the name picked out for our cat before we had the cat. We wanted a cat that we could call Buddy. So we went to the shelter. This was, 17 years ago now. Went to the animal shelter. We saw the little tiny kitten, probably 8 weeks old, in a cage with his brother there. We got the one that went meow. And I guess later we learned to regret getting the one that was talkative. But Buddy lived 15 years. He was a good old cat. He was all gray. I think he was, if he were any particular breed, he'd probably be called a Russian blue, although I'm not sure he was purebred Russian blue. But so after a couple of years of not having Buddy, we decided we want to get a couple of kittens. We had one last time. We wanted to get two this time so that they could keep each other company. I think that's a good approach. And I wanted a gray one that looked just like Buddy. Only instead of his yellow eyes, I wanted green or blue eyes. So we found one matching that on Craigslist, I guess it was. Went out to the PetSmart where they had an adoption fair. This particular kitten had been in a foster home. So not just locked up in a cage for weeks and weeks since its birth. But the sibling to that cat wasn't a cat that we were particularly fond of. It was just a gray tabby. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with gray tabbies. We just didn't prefer the gray tabby. We saw another one there, white with black, I guess black with white. And it had been kept in a cage at the PetSmart. We decided to pair those two up and bring them home. We don't have names picked out for these two cats prior to getting the cats, but we've kind of settled on for the name for the white and black one. I think we're going to go. They're both females, by the way. So, you know, a lot of male names are out. I think for the white and black one, we've settled on the name Mojo, which I didn't really know. I thought mojo was something that meant, hey, I got to get my mojo back. I got to get my energy back. Well, it has a little bit more to do with magic and casting spells and things. And so I thought it'd be appropriate for the other cat's name to have something to do with magic. One of our friends recommended the name Magic for our cats, in fact. But being all gray, you know, something like spooky or smoky or shady would be a good name. Although I like alliteration, so M, an M word would be good to go with mojo. Mojo and M. And looking up the thesaurus, words that are similar to magic, one came out at me, mystical or misty. We might call the gray one misty. And of course that would be spelled M-Y-S-T-I-E, which reminds me of Brian Regan's comedy about, my name is Brion, B-R-X-X-X-Y-O-N. Oh, so we're having fun with our kittens, and we want to make sure we get lots of video and pictures of our kittens while they're still kittens, because they don't last as kittens for very long. One book I finished reading recently called 1 Second After by William Fortune. Fortune. F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N. And it's a book about an electromagnetic pulse that goes off over the United States and disables everything electronic. And it centers on a family, a man particularly, and his family in North Carolina near Asheville, just outside of Asheville, somewhere in the mountains. And he was a former officer in the military, but he moved there to support his family and things. And one day, the phone goes dead, the lights go out, the cars stop working, and it's all about the aftermath of that. Actually didn't like it. Didn't like the book. This was a real page-turner, as you might say. I kept flipping pages trying to skim through to get to the good parts. So there you have it. 1 Second After, book read. Let's move on now to the main part of the show. Lessons, 20 lessons for the next generation. Yeah, like I said, these are things that, if I knew then what I know now, the road might have been a whole lot easier for me. So I'll go through each of these 20 that I've made up. I reserve the right, by the way, sometime in the future to revise and extend these 20 lessons. Maybe I'll have more lessons, maybe I'll have fewer, maybe I'll combine some or discard some. But this is where I'm at right now, and these are some ideas that I think can make life a little bit happier. Number one, in no particular order, I guess. Number one, don't listen to the media. In fact, make a habit of turning off the TV, not subscribing to newspapers and magazines, or listening to guys on the radio. But if you must watch TV, I realize there's things we need to watch. I needed to watch the British Open, for example. At least skip the ads. We were able to watch the British Open virtually ad-free because of the DVR, and it was a real pleasure to skip half of that time we would have wasted sitting there watching that tube. But don't listen to the media, because all the media is trying to sell you something. I've learned over time that every single thing that is in the media is geared to sell something to you. And it doesn't matter what kind of show or media it is. It could be a news show. It could be a business show. It could be a comedy. It could be a sports show. But they're all trying to sell you something. And if you have to be sold something, it's usually something you shouldn't want. So especially CNBC, don't listen to the guys on CNBC, and especially politicians that appear on TV, don't listen to them for the same reasons. There's one politician that I like to listen to now, but even he's wrong on occasion. And so use your own judgment and don't listen to the sales. Number two, Learn to think from the perspective of the other person, not just yourself all the time. Do they really have your best interest at heart? Be wary of anyone to whom you are paying money. Doctors, dentists, lawyers, accountants, financial planners, realtors. You have to assume that they did not go to the trouble of setting up their professional career just to help you personally or to be your friend. Also, but from the other perspective, thinking about the other person from their perspective is think about what the other person might actually be needing and how can you help supply it. Number three, think for yourself. Don't let your peers even con you into, for example, thinking that math is boring. Recognize peer pressure and revel in your ability to thwart it without being obnoxious. Number four, try to do the opposite of the first three. If you're in the media, try to do things that you don't sell something to people. Try to give honest opinions without trying to sell something to people. Try to help people at a reasonable fee if you're in a profession. Try to genuinely help them and be compensated fairly for it. But don't get into a position of having to sell something to someone. Number five, don't worship people. Celebrities, actors, musicians, athletes, or even their ideas. As for people, they don't possess godlike powers, and they're not, generally, overall, smarter than you. Maybe they worked hard on something. Tiger Woods is amazing to watch as a golfer, but you shouldn't worship him as a person. They don't deserve your worship. Instead, pay attention to the people you actually do come in contact with. And as for ideas, you might later learn that the idea you were worshiping was wrong. So hedge your bets. Number six, be selective in your friendships. There are different levels, of course, of friendships. There are those who are like a brother or sister to you. There are those that are close friends. There are those that are friends by proximity. Maybe they're your next door neighbor or someone you sit next to at work. And then there are acquaintances. Well, in your brother and sister-like friendships and in your close friendships, make sure you choose friends that are good people. But still, don't be disappointed if they sometimes disappoint you. Number seven, if someone's angry with you, take a break before trying to calm them. Time does heal. Number eight, don't wait to be educated. There's just about nothing that you cannot learn on your own with all the resources that are available today. Books everywhere, blogs, online videos. Before you sign up for classes, think about self-training first. Number nine, work hard. Nothing comes easy. Like that book, Outliers, says 10,000 hours it takes to get great at something. But work on important things. Work on things that will have a meaningful result. You know, if you're going to spend your time doing something anyway, why not spend it on something that in the end, you'll have something? I mean, these guys that are masters of video games, in the end, what do you have? You got a disc that you throw in the trash. But if you spent that, just imagine if you spend that time learning something that you can keep. Learning to play the guitar or piano or painting or golfing or volunteering or building something. Anything worth doing is worth doing for a purpose and is worth doing right. Number 10 out of 20. Everything in moderation, including moderation. Number 11, set yourself up for happiness by setting your expectations low. Then be pleasantly surprised if they're exceeded. Every year when we go to Myrtle Beach, beforehand we say something like, boy, it sure is going to be stinky weather this year. It's going to probably rain every day we're down there. What are we going to do? And you know what? It rarely ever rains when we go to Myrtle Beach, and we have the best time. Number 12. Watch out for one-way functions. Do you know what a one-way function is? It's something that once you do it, you can't undo it. Like breaking a glass. That's a one-way function. It can't be unbroken. A molly bolt. You know what a molly bolt is? You hang something on a wall or through drywall with this bolt. These are typically the ones where if you screw a screw into this device, it expands. But when you unscrew it, it doesn't contract. It's a one-way function. Well, so watch out for one-way functions in life. Pause before you make a long-term commitment. I'm thinking things like timeshares, club memberships, new cars, cell phone plans, subscriptions, cable TVs. Pause before you make the long-term commitment, and then don't make it. Number 13, optimize delayed gratification. Do you know what delayed gratification is? It means waiting to do that thing that makes you happy. Most money should be saved, yet you do need to have some fun today. Try to have fun in inexpensive ways. This can help smooth out the pain of not having enough money or time later on to have fun. If you spend all your resources now, then you're going to need resources later. How are you going to get them? You got to spend all your time not having fun later. Smooth that out, basically, is the idea. And the more you do, the more fun, super fun things you do early in life, the harder it is to exceed it later. We're thinking of, you know, like when you're young, if you're 12 years old and you go out to a 5-star restaurant, you know, a couple times a month, how are you going to exceed that later in life? Number 14, learn the difference between food and candy. Eat food. Go to your local farmer's market. Plant an earth box. Most food that you buy that's been prepared is candy. Number 17, take pictures. Take a picture of your first car. I don't have one. Take a picture of your kittens. Take a picture of your friends. Take a picture of that special moment. The iPhone really helps here because you have your camera with you at this special moment. And when you get that picture, copy the exceptional ones to a special folder so that you can look at them again later easily. 18, learn the time value of money. First of all, learn what money is. Learn how to use money efficiently to maximize your lifelong happiness. Don't spend beyond your means. 19, check your assumptions. Check your assumptions. Consider alternatives. Just because something has always been done that way doesn't necessarily mean that it is the right way. And feel free to innovate. The last lesson I have for you this time for the next generation. Number 20, embrace the freedom that you do have. Recognize that most jobs make you a slave to someone. Even if you own your own business, you're enslaved to your customers. Well, all humans have to be enslaved to something in order to get food. You either have to hunt it or farm it or trade something that you do to get the food that somebody else prepares for you. But try to find an enslavement that you can make fun and enjoyable. Well, that's it. The 20 lessons I've got this time for the next generation. I'd appreciate your comments on them. Send them to me, feedback@maddymoneymachine.com. Call the voicemail line, 571-366-7121. Or go to drop.io/madmoneymachine. Those are three ways that you can get your feedback to me. This is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes learning the lessons early in life to make a mad money machine. I'll see you in a week or so. Yeah, Still kind of a hit or miss throughout the summertime. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm sure you have some lessons that you'd like to pass along to the next generation. Feel free to get them to me. Actually, I have a Twitter account too. Twitter.com/madmoneymachine. Send them directly to me and I'll report to them. Maybe on the next show. Enjoy your summer. See you later.